All right, let's get into it today. We're doing a deep dive into a pretty interesting legal case, particularly for the learner, if you're, thinking about contracts or personal injury law, or even just, the fine print when you sign up for a gym membership or something like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So we're looking at the case of Sanchez v. Bally's Total Fitness Corp. And this case really kind of gets at this fundamental question, When you sign a waiver at a fitness club, what exactly are you giving up?
Right.
So we're going to explore, the details of this case, the arguments that were made, and what the California Court of Appeal decided. So get ready for some surprise, some insights into how courts interpret these agreements.
Absolutely. And this case is really insightful and looking at how the legal system balances, the responsibility of the individual with the obligations of businesses, and particularly in these recreational settings.
Right.
It really showcases some of the principles that courts use in interpreting contracts and their enforceability.
So, at the heart of this case, we have Kathleen Sanchez, who filed a lawsuit against Bally's Total Fitness. What led to this whole legal battle in the first place?
Well, Kathleen Sanchez was a member at Bally's, and she ended up getting injured during a slide aerobics class.
Okay.
And her claim was that improper instruction from the staff led to her fall, and she injured her wrist.
Oh, wow.
So she sued Bally's alleged negligence on their part.
So Bally's basically comes back and says, "Hey, wait a minute, she signed a waiver, right?"
Exactly.
So the learner, that's really the crux of what we're looking at here today. Did that waiver actually protect Bally's from liability in this situation? And
Right.
what exactly did that waiver say?
Well, the membership agreement that Mrs. Sanchez signed did include a liability release, and the language in the waiver was pretty broad.
Okay.
It said that she releases Bally's from any claims for injuries connected with the use of the fitness center.
No, it's interesting that they didn't specifically use the word negligence in that waiver, right? You would think if they wanted to protect themselves from negligence claims, they would have put that word in there.
Right.
So, what do you think about that?
That's a great point, and it highlights, a common misconception about legal contracts.
Right.
While using explicit language can be very helpful, courts often try to prioritize the overall understanding and the intent behind the agreement. In this case, the court really focused on, what types of injuries are typically connected with the use of a fitness center.
Right.
It does make you wonder, though, if using clearer language
Yeah.
could have potentially avoided this lawsuit altogether.
Yeah, it really gets you thinking about how important clarity is in these contracts. So there were a few really critical facts that seem to have played a role in the court's decision. One that stands out to me is Ms. Sanchez's professional background.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little more about why that mattered in this case?
Yeah, this is an important point. Mrs. Sanchez wasn't just, an average person signing a gym membership. She was actually a senior real estate officer. And the court specifically pointed this out because they felt that someone in that kind of professional role, would probably have a certain level of sophistication when it comes to contractual agreements.
Right.
And the implication here is that someone with that experience is more likely to understand the significance of a liability waiver.
That's an interesting point. It really underscores the idea that your personal circumstances and your professional experience can actually have a big impact on how legal agreements are interpreted.
Exactly.
That might be something that a lot of people don't even consider when they're signing these standard contracts.
Right.
So the learner, think about that for a second. How do you think your own background might influence how a court views your understanding of a contract? So, really, the central legal question in this case boils down to this: was this broad waiver clear enough to cover Bally's potential negligence, even though it didn't specifically use that word?
Right.
And did Ms. Sanchez's injury fall under the scope of the risks that she agreed to when she signed that membership agreement?
Exactly. The court really had to decide whether a reasonable person reading that waiver, and particularly with Mrs. Sanchez's background in mind, would understand that they were essentially giving up their right to sue Bally's if they were injured because of the gym's ordinary carelessness, while using the facilities or participating in the activities.
Okay.
They also looked at whether the type of injury that Mrs. Sanchez sustained, was a foreseeable risk of participating in a fitness class.
So let's dive into the court's reasoning here. They emphasize that these waivers need to be clear, explicit, and comprehensible. But like we've been talking about, they didn't necessarily require the inclusion of the word negligence.
Right.
What was the logic behind that?
Well, the court's reasoning here is pretty interesting. They basically said, look, if negligence wasn't understood to be included in this waiver, you know, that covers injuries connected with the use of the fitness center, then what exactly was the plaintiff releasing?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good point.
When you think about the inherent risks involved in, you know, joining a fitness center and using their facilities and equipment, you're engaging in activities where there's a chance of, you know, strains, sprains, falls.
Right.
And while some of those might be purely accidental, others could certainly be caused by the facility's failure to properly maintain their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Or in this case, you know, Ms. Sanchez's allegation that improper instruction from staff led to her injury.
Right.
So the court basically said, look, the broad language that they used in this waiver was meant to encompass these types of risks, which often stem from some level of negligence.
Okay, so they're looking at the practical reality of what you're actually agreeing to when you sign up to be a member of a gym.
Exactly.
The court also connected this case to a previous case, Hohe v. San Diego Unified School District.
Mm-hmm.
What was the significance of reference in that case?
Hohe is an important case in California law when it comes to liability waivers.
Okay.
And especially those waivers used in the context of recreational activities.
What?
The court in Sanchez used Hohe to support their decision to not require a hard line distinction between what some might call, you know, active negligence and passive negligence in these waivers.
Okay.
Traditionally, there was an argument made that unless it was explicitly stated, waivers might not cover instances of active negligence, which are more direct acts,
mm-hmm.
versus passive negligence, which is more of a failure to act.
Yeah.
However, the court in Hohe, and then later in Sanchez, moved away from this strict distinction in the realm of recreational activities.
Right.
So this shows a trend toward a more practical interpretation, where a clear and general waiver could be seen to cover both types of negligence related to the inherent risks of the activity.
That makes sense.
And this highlights how the legal framework surrounding these agreements is constantly evolving.
What's also really interesting here is how the court considered the foreseeability of injury.
Mm-hmm.
They basically reasoned that injuries during fitness activities are kind of a natural risk that you just assume when you're doing those things.
Right.
Does that seem totally fair to you, the learner? Where do you think we should draw the line between the risks you take when you're engaging in an activity and the company's responsibility to make sure things are safe and that you're receiving proper instruction?
That's a really important question to think about.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you know, when you join a fitness club and you participate in their classes or use their equipment, there's an understanding that there's a risk of injury.
Right.
You could overexert yourself or you could lose your balance and fall.
Exactly.
But then where does the fitness club's responsibility come in?
Right.
Should they be held liable if their equipment is faulty and it causes someone to get hurt? Or if the instructors provide guidance that's negligent and leads to an injury? The court in Sanchez seemed to say that for cases of ordinary negligence, like the improper instruction in the slide aerobics class, it falls under the assumed risk. And it's covered by the waiver.
Okay.
But it's important to keep in mind that this doesn't give fitness clubs a free pass to just ignore safety altogether.
Right. That brings us to a really big question. What does this decision really mean? Does this mean that fitness clubs are now off the hook for all negligence claims made by their members?
Well, not exactly. The court in Sanchez did say that if there's gross negligence or intentional harm, those things would likely still be grounds for a lawsuit, even if a waiver was signed.
Okay.
Gross negligence is a much higher level of carelessness.
Right.
It means that there's a reckless disregard for the safety and well-being of others.
Got it.
So, for example, if Bally's had knowingly let people use a piece of equipment that was really damaged,
mm-hmm.
and they knew it was dangerous and someone got hurt because of it,
yeah,
that could potentially be considered gross negligence, and the waiver might not protect them.
Interesting.
But for cases of ordinary negligence, like what happened with Ms. Sanchez in the slide aerobics class, this decision does strengthen the argument that a well-written waiver can be pretty effective in protecting recreational facilities.
Mm-hmm.
This case is definitely a precedent for how similar cases involving waivers might be viewed in California going forward.
So the big takeaway here, especially for you, the learner who's interested in the law, is this. The way you write these agreements really matters.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Clarity is crucial.
Yeah.
And maybe even more important than just including specific legal terms.
Right.
So if you're ever representing someone who signed one of these waivers, it's so important to think about their background, their education, and just their overall level of sophistication when they signed it.
Right.
That seemed to be a big factor for the court in Ms. Sanchez's case, you know, considering her professional role.
Absolutely. When you're drafting a liability waiver, The goal is to make it so clear and easy to understand that any reasonable person could grasp it right away. You don't want to bury important stuff in the fine print or use all this super technical legal jargon that can actually make the waiver less enforceable. And on the flip side, when you're analyzing a waiver in a legal case, you really need to understand the person's background and whether they would even understood what they were agreeing to when they signed it.
Yeah.
That's crucial for building a strong argument.
So this case really highlights this ongoing kind of balancing act in the legal system between the freedom to enter into contracts and the need to protect consumers, especially when there's a power imbalance, like between a big corporation and an individual signing a membership form.
Exactly.
So where do you think that balance should be, particularly in these types of situations?
That's a tough question, and it's something that courts are always trying to figure out. On the one hand, businesses need some protection from lawsuits. You know, they shouldn't be subject to constant legal battles over things that are truly accidents. But on the other hand, people shouldn't be forced to give up their basic rights to safety and to seek justice if something goes wrong.
Absolutely.
The Sanchez case seems to suggest that at least when it comes to recreational activities and ordinary negligence, as long as that waiver is clear and the risks are kind of expected for that activity, the courts are going to uphold those agreements. But it's important to remember that the legal system does give you ways to challenge waivers if there's gross negligence or intentional harm, or if the terms of the waiver are just completely unclear or unfair, or if they were hidden from the person who signed it.
So hopefully the learner, this deep dive into Sanchez v. Bally's Total Fitness Corp, has given you some things to think about.
Yeah, definitely.
We've seen how courts look at these liability waivers, the importance of context and the person's background, and the types of risks you might be taking on when you sign on the dotted line. So here's a question for you, the learner. In your own life, what kind of due diligence do you do when you see these waivers, whether it's at the gym or for some other activity? Has this conversation changed how you might approach them in the future?
Yeah. Food for thought.
Absolutely.
Come to the learner.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
And we'll see you next time.
See you later.